Turn over to Isaiah 28. I actually brought this passage forth to our group this morning, but want to just focus in on something for our church tonight. Isaiah 28 and in verse number 1. Isaiah 28, verse number 1. Of course, this is Isaiah, and he primarily is ministering unto the southern kingdom, but he uses the northern kingdom as an example in a sense of what not to do, a kind of a warning, if you will. And he uses a phrase here a couple times. I want to deal with that tonight. Just look at that. But he says in Isaiah 28:1, "Woe to the crown of pride, to the drunkards of Ephraim, whose glorious beauty is a fading flower." In verse number 3, it says, "The crown of pride, the drunkards of Ephraim, shall be trodden under feet." We find in verse 4, it says, "The glorious beauty which is on the head of the fat valley shall be a fading flower." Verse 5 says, "In that day shall the Lord of hosts be for a crown of glory." That day when, of course, Israel is not taking his glory from them. I just want to look at the thought of pride tonight for just a minute. Let's go ahead and pray. God, thank you for tonight. Thank you, God, for your goodness to us. Thank you for enabling us, God, to be able to take of the resources, God, of your people here, and God, be able to then funnel them around the world for worldwide missions, and here even in our own country, which has a tremendous need. Thank you for the giving heart of our people. Thank you for all the different ones that give to missions. It's the majority of our church, and I thank you for that, God. I thank you for the opportunity to gather together even like this and get correspondence back for them and talk through and pray through and just see what we can do to try to be a help and a blessing to them and maybe an encouragement, God, along the way. And so, God, thank you for that. Please now take this time we have in your word. I pray that you would help us with, God, just some scripture tonight. Give us encouragement. We do love you. We thank you. We need your help. We sure do ask for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Just want to think on that thought of pride. Now, in reference to Israel, we would look at them and we would definitely see some attributes there of pride in their lives. And I want you to think about kind of how does pride reveal itself. I want to give you a definition. It says pride is to lift oneself up. It's an inordinate self-esteem. It's unreasonable conceit of one's own superiority in talents, beauty, wealth, accomplishments, rank, or elevation in office, which manifests itself in lofty airs. And this is all according to Webster's 1828 first edition dictionary. It says, which manifests itself in lofty airs, distance, reserve, and often in contempt of others. Contempt, of course, is when you write somebody off. You have nothing to do with them. You hold them in contempt, like in a contempt of court. It's because someone's unruly and won't go along and is just not willing to go along, if you will, in reference to the proceedings and has outbursts or whatever. They could be held in contempt of court. Well, we hold people in contempt when we shut them up or we engage in a manner that is not fitting based on our lack of care for them. All right. So pride. So we're just going to consider in a sense very quickly tonight. Pride and how does that manifest itself? What does that look like? I'm thankful that Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:10. And by the way, there's a man who could probably very easily fall into pride. Matter of fact, he said that the reason he had that thorn in the flesh was to really hold him in check and to keep his humanity in check and for us each to understand, as he says in 1 Corinthians 15:10, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am." But by the grace of God, meaning that if it wasn't for God's grace, Paul says, I'd be nobody, I would be nothing. He goes on to say in that text, "And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain." It almost sounds like he's beginning to boast, but watch what he does here. He says, "But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." Ultimately, he gave God the glory for his life, the grace of God, which is more than just favor. It is actually a divine power that God gives unto the humble, right? He gives grace unto the humble. To the proud, he actually resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble, it says in James 4. The tendency for each of us or for mankind is to try to match pride with pride. Did you ever come across someone that's full of pride? Now, not talking about self. It's very hard. It's very hard for us to identify pride and self. Just is, right? Because everyone, in a sense, we have this survival instinct to watch out for ourselves. And it's a good thing. Amen? It's a good thing that we have that to a point, but it can become inordinate. Anyway, how does pride reveal itself when we come up against that? What's it look like? How does it manifest itself? Rachel, is your hand up? How would their speech reveal that they're proud? Like boasting?
Yeah.
Okay. Bragging about, braggadocious about. So, okay. I saw that posture when you did, you kind of like that. Yeah. You kind of put that nose up a little bit. I'm great. You're not. That type of mentality. Yeah. Yes. Oh, that's good. Everybody else says this is going on, but hey, you guys are all wrong. That ain't happening. It's like, so you're smarter than everybody. Yeah, that's true. And defend self, right? Real quick to, if there's something that's said you're wrong in, real quick to defend and divert, right? Deflect. It's not me, it's this person, right? Can't be me because I don't do wrong. Yes. Because you deserved that promotion. You get upset when someone else got promoted because that was for me. That's good. Because I'm better than them. I do a better job than them. I mean, I outperform them all the time and nobody notices. Things like that. Anything else? Yes, Hannah. And why would you call that pride?
Because I've seen it as something I have to be careful about for myself, because it's between them and the Lord. And
what's between them and the Lord? How they do something?
If someone's doing something, and I've noticed it with a lot of Christians in general, thinking, oh, well, I wouldn't do that, and there could be a good reason why you're convicted against it.
That's a different thing. So I think you said two things there. Number one, I see somebody doing something, but they're not doing it the exact way that I would do it, so I correct them. When in reality, maybe their way of doing it is just fine, but you just don't like it because it's not like you would do it. And then the second thing you said was they may be against or for something, and then because it doesn't equal where you're at, you look down on them because your standard is definitely better than others. And if you do or don't do, then you are that stand. That's in a sense. Remember, we all rise and fall based on who? Our master, right? To our own master, we rise and fall. And we're not going to give an account to each other. We're going to give an account to God, right? Now, there is room for us to properly go to someone and say, I'm concerned for you, right? And try to help somebody through things that we... And I think the key there is the reason why we're approaching them. I think the reason we should approach people on those lines is we love them and we see them engaged in things that's going to be detrimental to their walk with the Lord potentially, or their ministry, or just even relationship, family, at work. Yes. That's pretty good. Yeah. Did everybody get that? Saying pride is when you look at everybody else's problems through a microscope, but your own problems through a telescope. Does that make sense? Microscope makes everything appear big. Telescope makes everything appear small, right? It's different. It's different vantage points. Does that make sense? I hope that makes sense. That's what I got from that. Amen. Right. Yeah, without me, man, y'all would just fail. Amen. It's a good thing I'm here. Okay, so we've looked at this in reference to others. Now let's look at this. What does pride look like in reference from us towards God? All right. How many here believe that God knows everything? Anybody? Okay. How many here believe that God, if he was to do something, he would do it better than you? Anybody like that? Okay. Does anybody here have a problem with controlling things? Like you always want to be in control. Anybody like a couple? Okay. Do you know that's pride? Because it's you thinking you have to do it even when it's God that you're kind of pushing out of the way, right? Like worry, right? I've mentioned worry before. Does worry fix anything? Does worry complicate things? It sure does. Does worry affect you and your health? Okay, while you're worrying, what does God not do? Fix your issue. Does that make sense? And that's what we're going to see in this text, because he is going to let that unfold, and so that begins to bring you damage. And that's exactly what we find Isaiah saying to Israel. And there's going to be a threefold purpose of what he's going to give us a solution here. That's what we're going to look at very quickly tonight. Pride, listen, we all deal with it because we all are kind of wired to be on the lookout for self, to watch out for us. I mean, if you don't look out for you, who's going to look out for you, right? All these different thoughts. And I get it, and God understands that. But it's done inordinately. It's done to a point that it's just pride. It's wrong. The reason we do things. By the way, I got saved, and I got everything I need on this planet. I need nothing more. Does that make sense? While you're here on earth, the number one thing you need is to have your relationship restored between you and God. You need to be rescued from your sinful condition, right? Beyond that, it's all icing on the cake, amen? Does that make sense? And so we want to be very careful that we don't begin to get this idea that now life is about me, right? Life is about my happiness. Life is about, you know, what I get to do and where I get to go and where I get to work and who I get to be with. As soon as life becomes about us, that's where pride starts, because life is not about us. I love that little acrostic back that they use in you know, some of the children's classes and all that. Joy, Jesus first, others second. What's that third one? Yourself last. Right? I mean, that's the example that Jesus gave us, right? And that's the best check on pride. It's the motive for why am I doing what I'm doing. So let me very quickly, with a couple minutes we have left, I'm going to jump over a bunch, amen. By the way, Proverbs 20, verse 6, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? Faithful to what? Faithful to the word of God. Our text does mention alcohol. We're not going to go there. I got a lot of notes on that. But alcohol is a tendency that many that are full of pride do run to. Because the Bible says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That word excess is aseteria. It literally means no savedness. People run to the bottle because it gives them, it grants them something, and they're looking to be delivered instead of going to God for that deliverance. Very quickly, I'm just going to give you, and I'm going to skip over a bunch of stuff, but this passage tells us three things that, well, number one, what it says is the solution for pride is going to be the Word of God. The Word of God is what cures pride. All right? And it's really, really, let me see if I can't grab a verse here just to tie it together. The reason the Word of God cures pride is because the Word of God draws us to the author of that word, of course, which is God. And so go ahead and look at Isaiah 28 and verse number 12. It is the Word of God. I'm going to have to read 9 through 12 just for context sake. 9 and 10, then 12. Verse 9, it says, "Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast, for precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little." Pride causes us to stop growing in the Lord because we come to the place where we think we know enough now. Young people reach that place probably about 14, 15, 16, right? We laugh about that, but there is an age in every range that we get to thinking, whether it's a teenager, whether it's someone in their 20s, 30s, 40s, we all go through these periods of time to where we think we've arrived. We think now that we know something. And the Bible says if we think we know anything, we know nothing as we ought to know. Amen? And so, James, we've never really arrived, right? Right, James? Right? We've never really arrived, right? Just want to make sure eye contact. Awesome. We've never really arrived. So we're always needing to grow. That's why we pay attention in church. And by the way, I love going to church. I love listening to preaching. I love listening to others preach and all that because I want to know their perspective. I want to know what God has given them. Why? I need that. I need to be challenged. I need to grow. Amen. That's why I'm in my Bible daily, and that's why I hope you're in your Bible daily. But one of the things that will stop when you start to operate in pride is your Bible time. You won't have time for it anymore because now you are so busy because you're important. You are so busy, and you know enough already. I mean, you know more than that guy down the road and maybe people in your own house and everybody else, maybe even the preacher that stands behind the pulpit. You know enough. You don't have to study anymore. You got it all figured out. Maybe you've been through Bible college. I've been through Bible college, amen. And all I found out there was a whole lot I didn't know, amen. I'm just saying that we can get to that place no matter our age range. Sometimes as a child, maybe an adolescent, maybe in your 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, you can get to that place that you think you got it enough now. You don't need to worry about the Word of God. But I'm telling you that it's a trap because pride always needs held in check. And we are horrible at identifying it in our own lives, you see. And so Israel, they were in the pit of pride. And God was calling them out on it, and they were not listening. And because they would not listen, they ultimately had to go into captivity. Now, three things. This is three real quick reasons why it's the Word of God that will keep you from pride. Now, let me just say, you can approach God's Word with pride, amen, and in pride, use the Word of God for your own gain and profit. But even if you do that, the Word of God ultimately, we'll see number three, will do something with you. So number one, as far as the Word of God and why it's so important in reference to this idea tonight, Isaiah 28, 12 says, "To whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing." What's that last phrase there? "Yet they would not hear." Okay, what is the rest? Line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. Those Christians that currently are able to cast their care upon the Lord and not worry about things, is it because they don't care? Do they do that because they just don't care what happens? Is that what's going on? So I've had people say that. If you're telling me you're telling me not to care. That's not what that means. The reason there's rest in the Word of God, because the Word of God is filled with these things called promises. And what the person, that the Christian that doesn't worry, who is able to let the morrow take care for the things of itself, the reason they can do that is because they have faith and trust in the God of the Word. And they hang on to the promises of God. And it satisfies them. And now they're able to rest. Ah. Isn't that a blessing? The Word of God and the Word of God alone is what gives us rest. And if you don't have rest today, either you're not in the Word of God, or you are, but you're so full of pride, you have become the critic of God and not the trust and believer of God. Amen. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Okay? Is there anything that you can't do if God is powering it? Based on that verse. The verse says, I can do how many things? All things through who? Which strengtheneth me. Which means, if he's strengthening you, nothing is impossible for you. Is that what that says? Do you believe it? Are you sure? Pretty hard on ourselves sometimes. Can't do this, can't do this, can't do that, can't do that. Is that what that passage says? See, in pride, we take the Word of God and we make it say what we want it to say. And we change it all the time. We got to be very careful. There's rest, but it's found in the Word of God. That's number one. Number two, it is our means for growth. Isaiah 29:13. But the Word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, that they may go, what's that next phrase? And fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. What? We find that the Word of God is truly a mechanism for growth. But if you don't grow while in the Word of God, it becomes the mechanism for correction. Isn't that exciting? This is why, saint, our goal in life for people is get them in the Word of God. That's all we do. That's our purpose on earth. Number one, you get in the Word of God. It will teach you. It will instruct you. It will give you rest. It'll be the balm that your soul needs. Get in the Word of God. How often? Daily. Maybe multiple times a day. The more needy you are right now, the more you need to be in it. It's comforting. God's Word is amazing. Next, everybody you know, all your goal in life is just get people in the Word of God. Because it's not my word that changes things. It's not my great command of the English language and my ability to confound and my ability to just drive this nail deep. No. If that's what we're doing, we're wrong. That's pride. All I am is a conduit for others to receive the Word of God. And so no matter who they are, get them in the Word of God. You say, yeah, but they might use it wrong. No. This is where it gets good. Lastly, look at verse 20. By the way, means for correction is further talked about. Verse 14, verses 16 and 17. Y'all can look at that on your own. But verse 20. I love this. This is like one of those, like, what? Anyway, verse 20. For the bed is shorter than that a man can stretch himself on it. And the covering narrower than that he can wrap himself in it. Verse 24. Doth the plowman plow all the day to sow? Doth he open and break the clods of the ground? When he hath made plain the face thereof, doth he not cast abroad the fitches and scatter with cumin and cast in the principal wheat and appointed barley and the rye in their places? For his God doth instruct him to discretion and doth teach him. Now, bear with me. I want to explain that. Verse 27. For the fitches are not threshed with a threshing instrument, neither is a cartwheel turned about upon the cumin, but the fitches are beaten out with a staff, and the cumin with a rod. Bread, corn is bruised, because he will not ever be threshing it, nor break it with the wheel of his cart, nor bruise it with his horsemen. This also cometh forth from the Lord of hosts, which is wonderful in counsel and excellent in working. This, it says this, this also cometh forth from the Lord, and it's wonderful in counsel and excellent working. You say, what does all that mean? This is what it means. When we bring forth the word of God, those words go forth as God's word, not as man's word. And so God has the Holy Spirit and all these mechanisms built in to take now and administer it to each person as they need it. Do you ever stop and wonder, we get into an auditorium like this, or even more, and we preach the word of God, and then afterwards, I don't know if you've ever experienced this, I sure have, this person will say, wow, Pastor, thank you, I got this out of the word and all that. I'm like, wow, that's really neat, I wasn't even thinking that. And this one will say, man, I got this out of the word and all that. Well, I was kind of thinking that. And this person says, you know what I got from the message? I got this from the message. You're thinking, how in the world did that person get that from the message? And the way that works is, when the word of God is preached, it's not my word. It's not about what I intend when I preach it. It's about what God does. As that word goes forth, he takes and he applies it to you. And he applies it to the one that is, that's, it's going into their ear gate and into their heart. He, we have to realize, when God's word goes forth, it doesn't return void. It doesn't return in such a manner that it doesn't. It always accomplishes what God means for it to accomplish. That's why we give the word of God to everyone, because that's what God uses to work on their heart. But if we get in this thought that I have to control everything because I'm the best one in the room, and I have to make sure they get this, and I have to do this. And God has not called you to control everything. He's just called you to obey. Just follow God. Get his word out. Let his word first do to you what's necessary. And then trust that God will take and do what's needed in all the hearers of the word of God. It's God's word. And so basically in this text that I just read, basically what it's saying in reference to the word of God is that when a man tries to make a bed that works for him, it always comes up short. And when man tries to get himself a cover that will properly cover him at night, he'll never have a cover that actually comforts. It's always going to come up a little short. And in the field, what it's saying here in verses 24 through 29, he says, in the field, when you're plowing, all the different things that you're planting and sowing and working and all that, every one of those is processed differently. Every one of them. And for you and I, it seems like there's no use then, because I'm talking to all kinds of people all the time and everybody has a little variation in what they need. How am I going to help them? Well, you can't. But I know the one that can. And so we got to stop trying to treat the barley like it's the corn. Or it's not a one size fits all. It is, God knows what's needed, and I have to trust him enough to just get it out there. And then he does the work. First in me, and then in all the hearers. Hallelujah. And that's what we see that Israel needed. There was a dearth of the word of God in that day. They stopped bringing out the word of God. And can I say, if we do that, we've lost. Because now God can't do his work in us. And if you ever get to the place that you stop dishing out the word of God, I guarantee you the reason you stopped is pride. Because you've determined it's not needed. Can I say, God has already determined it's always needed. Always needed. It's needed for you. It's needed for our governor. It's needed for every person in our state. It's needed for every person in jail. It's needed for every person in those places of quote unquote higher education. Amen. It's needed for every foreigner off our soil. It's needed for everyone. The Word of God is the ingredient that everyone needs. So that's why we're called to preach it. Amen. Preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke with all authority and long-suffering of doctrine. The day will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. That doesn't mean we stop preaching. That's on them. If they shut their ears, they shut their ears. But we better not be the ones that stop preaching it. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you for listening tonight. Let's pray. Thank you, dear God, for tonight. Thank you, God, that there's passages like this right here in Isaiah that talk about the necessity of the Word of God in our lives. Help us now, I pray, to consider this and not be discouraged because someone might turn away from hearing it. God, might they not turn away because of us? Might we be always caring enough for people that we get them the Scriptures, not with a disdain, but with a desire for them to grab hold of it, because we know you will administer it and take it exactly where it's needed in each person. And God, we're thankful for that. Help us now. Thank you for this night. Thank you for all you do. Thank you for the good missions meeting we had and all the rest, the good time and song. Help us now, I pray, as we dismiss here in a minute. In Jesus' name.